Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to the trash of the day. We're also here in about 8 minutes, going to hear from Kingsley Suamataia, Chiefs left tackle. Could be the starting left tackle. We'll see. A big training camp ahead for him as of now, battling it out with Wanya Morris for the starting left tackle job. With training camp rookies underway today in St. Joe, you just heard from Xavier Worthy, or X, as I think everybody's just going to start calling him moving forward. And we'll talk a little bit more about him. Not 100%, as we said right now, for Worthy, but if they had to play a game tomorrow, he did say that he would be available. So we'll get to more on the Chiefs in camp in a second, but you came across something in regards to how people view the top quarterbacks in the league. It actually was from The Herd, from Colin Cowherd over on FS1. And it was interesting how one quarterback he thinks is discussed a little differently.
Well, way to be prepared, Dusty.
Yes, Josh Allen throws some ugly picks. But over the 4 years that he's won the division, he's the most productive player in the history of the sport. And some knucklehead is saying, you know, that guy's overrated. I'd argue he's underrated. He just doesn't quite have all the elements offensively that you need to beat maybe the greatest quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, and the greatest coach, arguably Andy Reid, of all time. It's Phil Mickelson playing in Tiger's prime. It's Hakeem Olajuwon playing in Jordan's prime. He won when Michael left. Part of Josh Allen's issue, Andy Reid and Mahomes may go down as the greatest quarterback-coach combo in league history. Brady Belichick were, and it kept Peyton Manning out of a lot of Super Bowls. That was not a knock on Peyton Manning. It was a reality on Brady and Belichick. All fight, I'll die on this hill. Josh Allen, to this point, the criticism is silly. He's underrated.
So the part about Mahomes basically title blocking everybody, if you will, right?
Sucks to suck.
That is reality. And we've discussed, I 100% agree with that portion of it.
Yeah.
A week or so ago, you weren't filling in that day. I think I was with Bink, but one of the sports books, FanDuel, I think it was, had a question of like over under how many rings combined over the next 10 for Burrow,
right,
Lamar, and Allen. And we were discussing like the challenge is, yeah, Mahomes is not going to win 7 in a row, but he's going to win more than just the 3 that he has now, I believe. And so much like, you know, he gave the Michael Jordan comparison. Yeah, that's reality. It's going to be very difficult for anybody to rack up one ring, let alone multiple rings, because of Patrick Mahomes existing, especially if you're an AFC quarterback. I don't think Josh Allen is underrated. Maybe other people do. I actually think Josh Allen right this second, July 17th, 2024, is the second best quarterback in the league. The way that changes is if Joe Burrow, Drew's all perking up over there and getting all excited. If Joe Burrow can prove he can play a full season.
Yeah.
And we know what he was when he was healthy.
Sure.
He's the second best quarterback in the league. But I can't have you number two while you can't stay healthy. So that is the caveat I'll put on it. But right this second, yeah, Josh Allen's the second best quarterback in the league.
I like the Tiger-Phil comparison, but I think Josh Allen, you might like this, Dusty. He's almost becoming like Ernie Els. The dude's just not going to win.
The stork.
Where Phil at least was winning. Josh Allen is not winning. He's not beating Patrick Mahomes. He's not making a Super Bowl. He hadn't done any of that. Where Joe Burrow has kind of become that Phil Mickelson of, he's beaten Mahomes before. Phil beat Tiger a couple of times, but Tiger's still like the guy where Josh Allen's like Ernie Els, same era, really good, would be great in any other era, but he's not going to be better than Tiger Woods. And
neither is Joe Burrow. I mean, what are we talking? If we're, no, the I, argument's not whether
I,
or not.
I said, that, I said Joe Burrow's Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson's never going to be better than Tiger Woods. Joe Burrow is not going to be Joe Burrow is never going to be better than Patrick Mahomes all time.
Right. So what makes you think, though, just right this second, that why is, in this same scenario, why is Joe Burrow Phil Mickelson and not Josh Allen?
Because Josh Allen's never beaten Mahomes in a moment that matters. It doesn't matter whether Joe Burrow's healthy or not.
Oh, yes, it does.
If Josh Allen goes the rest of his career not beating Mahomes one time and not making a Super Bowl, he's Ernie Els, and Joe Burrow is Phil Mickelson.
Playing in 9 games every year the rest of his career, it doesn't matter what he does.
All time, Joe Burrow is better than Josh Allen. If Josh Allen never makes a Super Bowl, Joe Burrow did more, Phil Mickelson, than Ernie Els did.
I completely disagree.
If Josh Allen never makes a Super Bowl, then Joe Burrow did more, regardless of if his career pans out to be long or not.
No, I just firmly disagree. You can have the one Super Bowl appearance that Joe Burrow has. If Josh Allen wins an MVP or two, plays for 14 years, and Joe Burrow is on average playing in 11 games a year, never goes to another Super Bowl, doesn't win an MVP, then no, I don't think Joe Burrow has a better career than Josh Allen. No, I disagree.
Look, man, I'm just the mediator. I played the audio. I'm letting you guys go back and forth.
Ranking quarterbacks, Josh Allen, in terms of his career productivity, is Ernie Els. He has done absolutely nothing in his career compared to the other guys. I know. I love me some Ernie Els.
You don't like Josh Allen, though.
No, I like Josh Allen. I just say the conversation's interesting because Colin Cowherd and what he said is the same as what Mike Greenberg said last year on Get Up and on his radio show. Is, look, Josh Allen has to do so much more than any other quarterback does. At least Allen wins his division. Joe Burrow has won his division a couple of times, so debunked.
This seems like more of a Cincinnati fan thing. Like they just don't like, because no, it's fine. This is what being a fan is all about. I get it.
The idea of, well, if you look at comparatively, if everybody talks about Mahomes and Brady and well, Brady beat Mahomes and when it mattered most, Joe Burrow has beaten Josh Allen when it matters and they've played in the playoffs. Josh Allen has never beaten Patrick Mahomes. He's never been to a Super Bowl. In terms of what he's done, whether he's better or not, that's not the conversation.
Yes, it is. yes, it is the conversation. That's exactly the conversation, right? That is the conversation, is who is better right now and who is available in my mind. Who's available right now? That's why I said Joe Burrow can be number two if he can prove he can stay healthy. But, I mean, the Brady point you make about Mahomes, I don't mix that with the conversation now. I hear you. You're right. We do talk about Brady and Mahomes and how big the head-to-head was. You know why? Because we're having a very specific conversation on who the greatest of all time is.
Isn't that the same thing, though, with Mahomes and Allen? If Josh Allen beat Patrick Mahomes one time in one 20 Super Bowl, then head-to-head, he has something to stand on. Josh Allen has nothing to stand on.
What does Joe Burrow have to stand on? He's got a trophy case because of his record against Mahomes? Because of one playoff? That's what you're saying. That is the only evidence you keep mentioning is a head-to-head win against Patrick Mahomes in the postseason.
We're talking about what they've done in their careers.
We're talking about who's the second-best quarterback in football right now. That was the debate.
If you have to say if they're healthy, then I think that you're...
You have to be... First thing is availability, Drew.
Well, then I think that... But if you look at other conversations around the quarterback position, if you take health out of it, that's, I think, when you... Who's the better quarterback when they're healthy? I think that's how you evaluate quarterbacks. That's why Aaron Rodgers is probably higher on people's lists, even though he probably... If you take health out of the equation, who's the better quarterback... That's what the list should be. It shouldn't be, well, if they're healthy or not. Otherwise, you can question Lamar Jackson. You can question Joe Burrow. You can question a number of other quarterbacks because their availability.
Lamar Jackson has two MVPs.
It doesn't matter. He's done nothing in his career other than win an MVP. He hasn't done anything when it matters.
Only one of a handful of quarterbacks that have ever won two MVPs. He's never done anything in his career. That's right.
I just personally, if I'm ranking the two. Behind Mahomes, I just look at pure talent, and
Joe Burrow is second. Josh Allen is three. Lamar Jackson is four.
RG3 should be in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the most talented quarterbacks we've ever seen, I guess.
No, I just think Josh Allen's the second best quarterback due to what he can do at the position more than Burrow. Like, Josh Allen's a bigger dude. He's more mobile. He's got a stronger arm, in my opinion, and he's done it a little bit longer. I think Burrow's like the close third. And I don't necessarily dog Burrow for being hurt the whole time. Like, last year was a fluke injury, and you tear your ACL. It is what it is. It's going to happen. Not everybody's as lucky enough to be able to play their entire career without being hurt. But it is interesting that only two quarterbacks since Mahomes has been in the NFL as a starter have won the Super Bowl. And one of them doesn't play anymore. But, I mean, if you look at the situation that we were into the beginning, Josh Allen is not, to me, underrated. I think Josh Allen is perfectly rated. I think he does have something that he is envious of in Joe Burrow, that Joe Burrow got it done when it mattered. I think that's a big, big step, but it didn't turn into anything. It's like, yeah, you could say that Patrick Mahomes beat Josh Allen with 13 seconds left. They lost the next game, and that game completely became muddled. It was just like, yeah, it was great. It was a really awesome game, but it's one of those things that gets forgot about because of what happened next. Burrow goes off and wins that Super Bowl. You have no doubt in my mind that he's right there. But they didn't win that Super Bowl. But I will say this for you, Drew. Mahomes is here. There is a significant gap between two, but the gap between two and three is razor thin. And that two and three can be Allen or Burrow, and it can fluctuate throughout the season depending on health and production.
When you're ranking quarterbacks, I don't think you should take like the extra little curricular things and put them into a conversation. It should be off the talent alone when they're healthy. That's how you should rank.
Yeah, Allen's
That's
more
how
talented.
You should rank quarterbacks.
Yeah, and Allen's more talented.
Okay, and I think we just disagreed. Yeah, I think Joe Burrow's more talented.
I think it's okay to like agree to disagree. I mean, the only thing that I would also bring in is Josh Allen went to Wyoming and had to go get Stephon Diggs, and Burrow just kind of was like birthed into this great situation in Cincinnati, and also had a really good one in LSU. Again, he's throwing the football. He's got to do that too. But I just think when I look at body size, play type, I just think the edge goes to Allen because of what he can do at the quarterback position that Joe Burrow can't do. And I'm not saying that Joe Burrow is a statue back there, but
no, Joe Burrow is ridiculously talented. Yeah. He is the third best quarterback in football, but to act like the availability and health is not part of the equation, I just disagree in how we talk about quarterbacks. You can be, I was joking with RG3, but also if we're going to talk about how it doesn't matter, that's why I brought his name up. I mean, there are plenty of quarterbacks and athletes, period. Super talented. Hell, Bo Jackson, probably the most gifted, talented athlete we've ever seen. He's not a baseball Hall of Famer. Why? Why?
That's a Hall of Famer, not
no. But
if
why?
You're
but
ranking,
why?
If you're ranking,
why?
Best
because he wasn't healthy. If he wasn't available.
Let me give you some sort of explanation.
If you're ranking best players, best athletes, Bo Jackson is always on the list, and nobody talks about because he's injured. That's on a list of. If you talk about top 10 athletes, Bo Jackson is there. Nobody's saying that he's not a top 10 athlete because he got injured all the time. That's where I don't think the injury thing. I think you have to take out of it because if you're saying Joe Burrow is not as good as Josh Allen because he's injured, then he's not as good as CJ Stroud. He's not as good as Jared Goff. He's not as good as Justin Herbert. He's not as good as Lamar Jackson. He's not as good. Joe Burrow should not be three on your list if you're talking about injuries. He should be like 15.
Tell me to put him 15th.
If you're talking about injuries,
no, it's
and
part
availability,
of the equation. Didn't say it's an end all be all, but it is part of the equation. Absolutely.
But I don't think if you're mentioning injuries as a factor, then he's not as good as Lamar Jackson. He's not as good as a number of other quarterbacks. He's in the top 10, maybe. But if you're making injuries a part of the conversation, Joe Burrow is not number three. That's not how I look at it. I don't think that's how Howard looks at it. I mean, he mentioned the Mickelson to the Tiger conversation. It's a good one. I like it.
We'll get to the trash of the day coming up in about 5 minutes or so. Let's get back up to St. Joe. Chiefs training camp rookies reporting yesterday. Camp underway today. Let's take a look at the potential starting left tackle, Kingsley Suamataia, talking just a few minutes ago.
So it's not the full squad here yet, but does this feel different than minicamp and OTAs?
Oh, most definitely. It feels the same, but not really, because we're out here in St. Joe's. It's a nice environment out here, but just, you know, we're all just grinding together, all us coaches, players, you know, all in the dorm, and just striving for that one goal at the end of this. So it's going good.
Any flashbacks in the Pro Bowl? I know that's not a big town either.
Was it?
Any flashbacks to Pro Bowl just being in St. Joe's?
Not really, because this is like, I was driving here, I was like, I don't even know where I'm going. Like, the nearest one I seen was, it's 5 minutes from here, but it's like, yeah, Provo's a lot more people, but it's cool though. I like it, it's peaceful.
Kingsley, what do you anticipate just being your biggest challenge during this training camp?
I'll say the playbook. That really, you know, all of us, you know, we're all talented guys, and that's why you're in the league, in the NFL, but it's just who's going to put that foot forward and dive into the playbook more and really know the offense inside and out. So I'll say that would be the biggest.
It's no secret that you're going to be going up against Wanye for this starting position. What's the dynamic been, you know, with you two guys as you get ready for this starting on Sunday?
It's been great. I've known Wanye, you know, as a player. He's a great guy. He's friends with a lot of guys that I know. You know, we're boys on and off the field, just trying to, you know, gain that job. But we're both just working hard the best that we can. And, you know, whoever comes out on the top, you know, still boys. But, you know, it's business out here. So, but nothing but love for Wanye.
Is there something you want to show when the pads come off that you've been diligently working towards, whether it's technique or certain mindsets you want to have when the pads do come off?
I'll definitely say my athleticism, just being able to show how fast I can get off the ball, how strong I am, but just playing the game. I'm just having fun out there, you know, and pretty much, yeah.
What have you learned so far from Andy Heck? And, you know, BYU has the tradition about flying, but just learning from Andy, what have you learned so far that you can take that you're like, oh, I've learned some new things here?
Sure, I learned a lot of things from Coach Heck. He's a legendary guy. He's a really great coach. But a lot of the fundamental stuff, down to the hand placement, he's big on that, where you place your hands, place them high, stuff like that. So that brings me back to BYU and similar stuff to what I learned from my coaches, but just putting it all together and just putting it, making my own, what I can use with it. So.
Is there any pressure to be able to play right away for you?
I don't think so. I'm out here. I love the game. I love playing, so just with the boys, like I said, I love being out here. I'm with all the guys, get to know everybody, and just grow that bond with everybody, because we're all dying and it's hot out here. So, you know, we're all grinding, and again, like for the goal at the end, for three times in a row, so I don't really feel any pressure on it, just playing the game that I love. Man.
How is married life?
That's great. My wedding was amazing. It's a lot different, but I'm glad it's over.
I know your family pedigree. I mean, they've said lots of advice is given to them. Have they given you anything about training camp or Chief training camp in general? What they be prepared for?
You said like
just from your family. Just have they told you anything about just the training camp mode or being a Chief training camp?
Just work hard. That's just down to it. Be the guy that's next to you and all the guys around you. Just be that one that stands out more than everybody else. You know, while coming in here for a job. So just put your best foot forward and whoever comes out on top. So.
A couple more.
Kind of unique in that, you know, you've got yourself and Hunter, CJ, all drafted this year. Obviously, there's some big undrafted guys too. How helpful is it that you've got some guys going through this process with you?
It's great. Even the undrafted guys, you know, we're all cool in the room. All the guys that signed on too. But CJ and Hunter, you know, they're great guys, smart guys. It's a great, you know, drafted or not, we're all cool. We're all brothers, and it's nice having guys that are drafted too, though. So
last two, let's go Nate and Pete.
You mentioned obviously the difficulties of the playbook, but just what has been most challenging about trying to apply what you're learning onto the field?
I just think the faster you learn the playbook, then the more faster I can play. You know, don't have to think and hesitate. So, but just the concepts of everything, knowing the defenses, looking out there, all seeing the safety come down a little bit, okay, bumping over clouded corners, like stuff like that. So just being able to read the defense, and then from there I can, I know what to do on here. So just reacting on what I see out there. So
getting back to OTAs, which teammate, maybe a veteran, has helped you the most as you kind of get acclimated here?
What was that?
Which veteran teammate has helped you the most in terms of getting acclimated to what Andy wants?
I think all of them, but I think a big older brother that I've been looking up to since I've been here is probably Trey, Trey Smith. He's been an amazing role model for me since I've been here, and he's just very vocal, and he loves the game. So I don't think learn anybody but one of the best guards in the league. So.
Thank you, everybody.
All right, so that was Kingsley Suamata at training camp. Rookies going on today, and with the vets this weekend. I think the question before the last about the playbook and everything, and he's like, you know, the moment I can pick that up, then I can play faster, because his biggest asset probably is athleticism at left tackle. But if you can just go out there and play and not think, that's the leg up one he has. Like if we're talking about this battle, he said, hey, you know, they're buddies off the field. On the field, and the battle they're in is all about business, because they're trying to win the left tackle job. The leg up one he has is he does know the offense. He started four games for this team last year. Now he quickly gave the job right back to Donovan Smith when he was healthy. Mm-hmm. But that's the one advantage. If you're Wani, like, you know everything. You're not trying to also learn while adjusting the NFL. Kingsley, that's the challenge. How quickly can he pick up the playbook? But I think his athleticism is what makes him exciting as a prospect and what might ultimately get him the job. But can he have a good enough grasp of the offense that he can be the starting left tackle when they host the Ravens week one?
Yeah, because the most important part about that is you're playing one of the most important positions in the game, not just because it's left tackle, but it's because you're the left tackle for Patrick Mahomes. And it's no secret, the way that this team is the most successful is when Patrick Mahomes is the most comfortable. And, you know, you see that in playoff runs before where the line gets hurt. You don't have that protection. Mahomes has to go into a different thought process. And this is one of those things where the writing is on the wall, right? One guy's had his chance. One guy lost his chance. That guy's coming back to prove it again. And then you've got this other kid who you just drafted, and big, athletic, young, eager, interested, starving, hungry, whatever you want to describe him as, to get out there and play. And he knows what his role is. He goes, I know I have the God-given talent to be a stud left tackle. If that can happen, what I got to do is I got to learn this. Like you said, I got to learn this playbook. And once I can figure that out, the two can combine, and then I can really wow my people, my coaches. And what a great problem to have, right? Two guys that could potentially be I'm not saying a top five left tackle, but it'd be a good, great option at left tackle, where you don't have to worry about, well, I don't know, left tackle, you know, Orlando Brown Jr. might, you know, drop back a few times and get beat. These guys are going to get beat, but these guys give you a better opportunity that you can look at, and you can actually have a competition between. Like I've said before on the show as well, competition in-house works. You got a guy that doesn't want to lose a spot, you got a guy that wants to take a spot, and they got to protect one guy, and that is Patrick Mahomes at the left tackle.
Trash of the day.
All right, let's get to it real quick here. The Arena Football League, it's like gone away a million times, come back a million times. Have you been following the craziness of this weekend? So they're set to have, I guess, their Arena Bowl, okay, on Friday between a team in Albany and Billings. Mm-hmm. And they've been advertising this. It was going to be on CBS Sports. With one game left to be played, they have another problem. The problem is, according to the league source on this article from PF Newsroom, The CEO has been voted out by the league with a week before the championship, with the eight team owners that are left. The CEO of the league, commissioner, stole $110,000 allegedly from a fellow employee's credit card, which has resulted in officials and owners stepping in to remove him from his position. In addition, the mismanagement of funds has put the AFL in massive debt to the facility where the Arena Bowl is currently slated to be played, and they've pulled the plug entirely on hosting the Arena Bowl. So a week before, their commissioner, CEO of the league, the venue said, yeah, you're not playing your version of your Super Bowl Arena Bowl here.
Huh.
Not having. League officials working towards a potential solution, which could include playing the game at a different venue. What a mess, man. These are why these secondary leagues
never work.
No, and that's why I never buy into them. No. I've tried. Whether it's arena football, whether it's XFL, UFL, Alliance of American Football, all these different leagues over the last 5 to 15 years that have tried to establish themselves. None of them last. They're unstable. Frankly, they're shady at times. I mean, that's what's going on with this thing.
Well, that shows you why the NFL shouldn't expand.
Keep
the talent there. Don't try to make it more liquidated. These things never work. I remember when the XFL came back, and there were a few people that were excited, and I was doing a Saturday morning show, and I was like, you're just a simplistic sports fan if all you care about is football, 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 and it comes into the XFL, the Arena League, because these guys, one, can't compete. We already have a powerhouse. It's not going to be better than this. I mean, it's like that with everything. Like, sorry, people don't go to AAA games a lot because they only exist in, small areas, and you have to travel there if you want to. People don't go to XFL games or AFL games or anything like that. And then you parlay that to this league that has a scumbag commissioner. It's definitely not going to work.
That is the trash of the day. Look, NFL already has a developmental league. It's called college football. They don't need to actually give any money to some of these other leagues, even though they did steal the kickoff idea from the XFL. I'll give the XFL credit for that. That's why we're trying out a new kickoff this year
right. In
the NFL. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour, what Patrick Mahomes had to say on move-in day and why it's a very good thing. This is the mindset of the entire team.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Chiefs Kingdom, this is Mitch Holtis, and welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour on Cody and Gold, every day at 11:30 on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up 1 hour from now, we'll talk some Royals baseball with our guy Josh Vergnaar, Royals insider. Royals off for a couple days, as all of baseball is, and then Friday they get the second half of the season underway out at Kauffman Stadium for a homestand. White Sox Diamondbacks coming up over the next week at Kauffman, a very, very important stretch leading into the trade deadline. But let's talk some Chiefs football. Yesterday was the day where everybody films players, you know, coming into the facility, and they've got their TVs with them. And, it was, you know, people were joking about Patrick Mahomes saying for the first time he's brought his TV because of the college football video game. But there was one comment he made about the mindset of the team. And normally, look, sometimes you're like, well, of course they want to win. They're never satisfied and all that. But when you've won back-to-back Super Bowls and you're going for a three-peat, it would be easy to say like, well, yeah, of course last season everything was fine. But that's not the mindset they have, and I think it's very important going forward.
We're back in St. Joe's. It's time to get better. Every season starts different. You got to come in with that same mentality you had the year before, even a higher intensity. And even though we won the Super Bowl last year, we felt like we didn't play our best football, especially offensively. So it's our goal to be better that way, and we have to come in with that mentality every single day. Yeah, I mean, obviously the end result was awesome, but I mean, I think a lot of us still have a weird feeling in our mouth because I mean, we really didn't play the football the way we wanted to play all year long, and it wasn't fun. I mean, every single week having to try to just continue to get better and better, and results not paying off the way you wanted to, it wasn't a lot of fun. And we have a lot of those same guys back, and they know how that.
How that felt, I think, is
okay. I thought I did something there for half a second, but did I push the wrong button?
No, that was just, it just got cut that way. That how they felt, I think, is what how he wrapped up that sentence. I think you have to love that mindset. That's truly what separates. That's why, you know, this team has had the success that they've had. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not satisfied. I know it's very cliche when you hear that kind of stuff in sports, but they won 11 games in and they won the division.
Right.
But we all know last year, I mean, whether it was a Christmas Day game against the Raiders,
devastating loss.
The Packers loss, the Philadelphia Monday Night Football loss, like, heck, the Lions lost week one with the Kadarius Toney ball batted up in the air, pick six. Like, there were plenty of moments where there was frustration. Mahomes, for the first time in his career, we saw him on the sideline, you know, with his emotions and the referee thing. And
yeah,
all of that was different because of that. And there is a huge chunk of the roster back from last year. So, yes, the end goal is the end goal, and that's ultimately what matters, but they know that they got to be much better than they were last year in the regular season.
Yeah, and you also have to love that, like, teams like this use it's a weird fire to burn inside of you, and it's good to see that this is one that, you know, because we sit here and we talk and we'll say, yeah, you know, they don't listen. I don't believe that. I think they really have their ear to the radio. I really do believe that from the bottom of my heart. They knew the offense was bad. Christmas Day, everybody's day was ruined that went there because I was there. It was a pathetic showing. And if you look at where you could take the most criticism from this team, because I'm sure we've done this before with our shows where, like, you think you have a really good show and then the boss sits you down and has you listen to it. He goes, yeah, I didn't really like that. You took too long to get to your topic. You didn't pay off your tees. You're like, damn, I thought I really nailed that. Mahomes is just straight up honest with you. The offense wasn't good last year. You look at all the games that were lost, it was an offensive problem. And I think for the first time in Mahomes' career, a la why you saw him get frustrated on the sidelines, and people took many different angles, to this, I think that this really shook Patrick Mahomes to his core, because I don't think he's really ever had a time in his career, it's still new and young, where the problem was the offense. And he knows that his skill set makes everyone around him better, and that result didn't happen last year because Kadarius Toney was a catastrophic failure. There were several opportunities where that didn't work. The offense was the reason, or drops were the reason, that this team would end up losing a few games. You mentioned the Packers game, MVS. Sure, there was a penalty. There were other games, too, where it was like, if you can just be here and catch this, this doesn't end this way. And like Binkley has said, they beat Buffalo. They're the number one seed. Like, that game, and they beat Detroit, both of those resulted in an offensive disaster that ended up losing that game for you. So I love this sort of fire and this sort of, like, look yourself in the mirror and be like, okay, where can we get better? Well, it starts with the thing that I command the most, and that's the offense, and we're hungry and ready to get back out there.
Well, and it's important because, look, the schedule has been a first-place schedule for 7 years now, I guess, you know, in this dominance of the AFC West. But right out of the gate, they have a chance to put themselves either in a very good spot when we eventually later in the year talk seeding and home field and all that, mm-hmm. or they'll have another uphill climb a little bit because they open up, as we know, against two very good teams that'll likely be contending to win their division in the Ravens mm-hmm. and the Cincinnati Bengals.
The other thing I'll bring a point to you is that normally when there's an offensive flaw, it's what, Alex, like 2 or 3 weeks and they sort of figure it out. Remember when they did the cover two press? It was like, crap, they took away my home run ball. What do I do now? It's like, learn to throw your curveball, Pat, and see what happens. And it took what, maybe 3 weeks, if I'm being unbiased, to like where it was like, okay, now the offense seems a little legit. This past year, it took basically 14 weeks, and then they just leaned into Pacheco, Rice, and Kelsey were like, sorry, everybody else, this is what we're doing because we know this works, and if we can get something that works, we can carry this in behind the legs of this defense, which is the other asset that you have that won the defense this year for the first time in a long time in our lives. Where at the end of the year, we're going, damn, that Super Bowl was great, but my God, if they just had a better blank, and this year is just offense, and they address it, Brown, Worthy, all the Slippery Rock Kid, or whatever. I didn't even know that was a school. Found that out today.
Yeah, Drew came.
I was like, is that his nickname?
Drew came into the bullpen because you have a new podcast out, right?
Yes, today.
So you were working on the podcast, and you came back in the building. You're like, the Chiefs got that. You're very excited. The Chiefs got
they got Ayuk.
They got themselves a new wide receiver.
I was trying to sell
and
it.
I was like, what? And you're like, the kid from Slippery Rock. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, that's a roster guy number nine, literally roster guy number 91 or whatever. Somebody that I'm sure they just need an extra body, you know.
I'll just wait till he has a one-handed catch.
True. People will, yeah, true. That does happen.
Yeah. Jonathan Ball.
He'll be playing in the fourth quarter of the first preseason game.
Tony Moyaki still has one of the greatest catches in Chiefs history, and that's all he's got. That's all he's got, man.
Yeah.
My buddy has it, I think, in a picture frame.
He has a frame.
I'm pretty sure. It's not a huge one, but I'm pretty sure a buddy of mine has it. One of my buddies, he bought a Tony Moyaki jersey. He thought that catch was going to do it.
Super athletic kid. Just couldn't stay healthy. He was somebody that I know everybody was at the time. And it's funny because
that was one catch
post Gonzalez, they had Moyaki and Brad Cottom and some other guys that they thought. And then like, oh, you'll never see that. And then little we know, here comes Travis Kelce and he surpassed Tony Gonzalez, who was obviously incredible as well.
Yeah, I remember exactly where I was at when that catch happened. It was a Sunday afternoon in college. We were at my buddy's house on a little TV, probably the size of this computer screen. That's back when TVs were still expensive.
It was funny, though. So you bring up the monitor in front of you.
Yeah.
So I saw an old photo today because if you missed it, of course, today, if you were listening to Fesco in the Morning at the beginning of our show, today was Josh Klingler's last day hosting on Fesco in the Morning. And so I think it was Bob or maybe Bob's wife put out a photo of like, you know, they did the show for what, 13 plus years or whatever. And so, of course, they had some photos and there was a photo of both Bob and Josh who looked super young in this very same studio, but everything looks the same.
Yeah.
And I swear it's the same monitor, man.
I believe it,
dude. I swear it's the same computer monitor in front of you right there. As I think mine is a little bit different now on this side, but that I think other than that, everything stayed the same. We got maybe some new phones at one point in time.
You think that dust is still there from 2013?
From 03. I think Kling's first year here. I think from 03, that the vent, the same dust is up there. That's true. That's very true.
Insane. No, I like it, man. You have a team that's done everything, or if not more, than any franchise will ever do in the history of the NFL, and yet they're still showing up day one to camp like, yeah, we're just ready to get back out there because last year was a disappointment on the offensive side. It's like, you won the Super Bowl. It's like, yeah, but we didn't get the one seed. We didn't win 12 to 13 games, and we just got to be better.
That's why they've accomplished, I mean, other than the talent, duh, but that goes back to Andy Reid and his mindset and why they've had so much success. Like, that is the mindset you have. Every year truly is a new year, and they approach it that way. And remember, there was always, you know, there was the whole, oh, well, the target's on their back. Remember that whole for a couple years ago? How are they going to handle that? Of course, that's a joke now. Nobody's saying that anymore.
Yeah.
They've handled it extremely well.
They're everybody's Super Bowl. I've heard that before.
Yep. Oh, there's a lot of things. And they've passed all the tests. And it's why it'll be interesting how we, as media, as fans, view this year as we get into it. When we're in the middle of October, after the first 2 weeks, whether they're 2-0 or they're 1-1 or whatever, how we view the team, because we did know it was full of frustration during the regular season.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no way they can get through this. Yeah, all the offensive struggles, they're just not good. The Christmas Day game, I mean, this team's going to be 1-done. Like, all this stuff. And yet they won the Super Bowl. So it'll be tough, admittedly, if it's middle of October and the team is struggling, it'll be awfully tough for you or anybody, Dusty, to convince me, and I'm sure convince yourself in this scenario, like, that they're actually not going to be able to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean,
what I mean? Like, it's just, how can anybody say, like, I don't care what the issue is other than the quarterback, you know, health and stuff. Like, how, if it's October, November, and the team is struggling to, you know, and still pacing for 10, 11 wins,
yeah,
how are you going to actually convince me to be worried? that, oh, well, they just can't do it.
Yep. As long as that man's throwing the football the way that he is and the other guy's on the sideline coaching the plays and has control of that coaching staff, there should never be any sort of worry. And like you already knocked on wood, so I don't need to bring it back up again. That's where you're at. That's just what you've built ever since you gave Andy Reid that contract 10 years ago. That's what you were – when you looked at it and Clark Hunt sat there with Andy Reid to make sure he wasn't going to go to Arizona, this is exactly what he envisioned, and it actually came to fruition. And that's what it's so great, also at times humbling to realize because of where this team was in 2012 and 2011, and then to see where this team is 10 years later and the situation and the team that Andy Reid has built. And it's been great because of the addition to the quarterback position. You found – what we've heard today from Colin Coward, what we've heard from people around the world, this is the best quarterback in football, and Mike O'Donnell is the best ever.
Something I think we can all agree on when we talk about quarterbacks, Drew, on this one, is a comment that was made by a Browns player to Tyler Dunn, who hosts a podcast, also has a site called GoLongTouchdown.com. He used to cover the Buffalo Bills on a regular basis. He usually has really good feature articles. He was actually the author of the piece about Sean McDermott last year. Remember that whole piece, the details that came out about prior comments? He was behind that piece. He wrote an article a couple years ago, insight on Sammy Watkins. That's where the whole reptilian being quote came from.
Great.
That was from, I believe, Tyler Dunn, if I'm not mistaken.
Livy's brother.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they're related, but I'll go with it. He probably hopes not. So the article this time was about Deshaun Watson.
Oh, no.
And I'm just reading the quote.
Okay.
Reading the quote.
Okay.
From Wyatt Teller, an NFL player for the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
He said, Deshaun Watson, quote, I'll tell you this right now. I've seen glimpses. I've seen flashes of absolute greatness. He's a mix of Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is a once-in-a-lifetime guy. I believe that Deshaun has that. I truly do.
Okay.
Yeah, and every now and then Zach Wilson makes one throw that makes everybody say, oh, that was really good.
Like, are you? I mean, what?
It is July, Alex. July.
Who? But this is Wyatt Teller. Let me double check.
Is he a Cleveland Beat writer?
Wyatt Teller. It's not the writer's fault.
Okay.
The
offensive,
a very talented, successful, smart football player that plays for the Cleveland Browns, number 77. If you're out there watching them, for the Browns, he's a guard. He's been in the league for 7 years. His stuff. I think. How on you can prop up your quarterback? I'm all for that. It's your teammate. You prop your guy up. You don't have to go and make yourself look like a fool.
Wait until the Chiefs play the Browns.
Yes, because
play the Ravens and Bengals. So
yeah,
probably
they play the Browns. Yeah, they play the North.
Mahomes' captions should be had some glimpses today.
Yeah, like
after he hangs 400 or
maybe when it was the divisional round game back when Watson was with the Texans.
Yeah, I mean,
but
it was so long ago. There was a point. I mean, we all know it. There was a point where there was a legit case that Deshaun Watson was a top 3, top 5 quarterback. There was a time. I know it sounds crazy.
And then he got weird.
And then he got hurt. And then all the other stuff. And he's never recovered. And then the dumb contract from the Browns. And you know, last year, Kevin Stefanski, without him, he made that team pretty successful, right? They became a little dangerous late with Joe Flacco.
Somebody says, well, what if health doesn't matter? Yeah. I'm kidding.
Oh,
I'm
gosh.
Kidding.
Get back in today.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Come on now.
I thought you were going to say fantastic.
That's still a sore spot, I think. Whoops, let's avoid that. Let's avoid that.
That was great radio.
Let's avoid that.
It's not sore. I think this also comes from an offensive lineman. If it came from Amari Cooper, yeah, it's not Amari Cooper saying, hey, man, he was really slinging the pigskin. You know, he looked really good.
It's just, it's fine. I mean, you should prop up your teammate. I mean, nobody should be. If that's your quarterback, you got to have his back. But you can
not this
have
much.
Deshaun Watson's back if you're a teammate of his without just making a fool of yourself and saying stuff that nobody, I mean, there's no way you believe that. Wyatt Teller.
I don't even think Deshaun Watson's a top 10 quarterback in the league today.
He's not top
10.
He might not be top 20.
Yeah.
So there's definitely never a glimpse of anything.
The metrics, I think some of them had him 26th best, 27th best quarterback last year. Best case scenario, maybe Watson gets back to like top 15. Like that, I think you would sign up for that if you were a Browns fan. He's never going to be a top 5, top 10 quarterback again. He's not. Could he be a middle of the road quarterback? I think there's a chance of that with the talent. In addition to Cooper, they add Jerry Jeudy to the wide receiver room. We'll see what Nick Chubb is after.
Njoku's still there?
Njoku was awesome down the stretch with Joe Flacco. See if they can bottle that up even more.
Till the campfire incident.
But, that was freaky, man.
So you came in with that.
He was
like,
even playing
Pasco.
Well after that. Yeah, as well.
He was.
Finally, Njoku arrived, being the fantasy guy that's been high on him for so many years. It was like, oh, this is what we wanted to see.
Betting him was light work. You just put the over under 40. He would bag that in the first quarter.
Someone says, so he can prop up his quarterback with stipulations. Got it. Yeah, you can prop up your quarterback without making up stuff. No, I'm sorry. No, nobody actually believes Deshaun Watson has any of the same ability now in 2024 at that level as Patrick Mahomes. Stop.
You can say, hey, he's looking really good. A version that we feel comfortable. We can contend for a division title. Yeah, there's anything else he could have said other than that.
This is where Andy Reid needs to step up and be like, keep my quarterback's name out of your mouth.
That would be if Andy actually said that. That would be gold.
Oh gosh.
I mean, you can just the way Mahomes compliments his receivers, he can be like, man, you know, Hollywood Brown looks great out there. He's not saying, you know, he's got some of the same stuff as Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah, even Wiley, who's a rookie, he's not like, yeah, he shows glimpse of like Kelsey moments. Whoa, what?
You can back your guy without being,
you know, if I squint my eyes, you know, he looks just like Travis Kelce. Like, no, you just don't have to take it to the full
extreme.
I think
if I'm Deshaun Watson, I go to the guy, I'm like, hey, man, love the support, but, you know. Maybe leave that name away.
Someone on the text line, 913-586-7610, says, Brody Croyle, look good in shorts and shirts.
Telling you.
And at Alabama, or at Notre Dame.
Looked at, no, you're right.
That's Brady Quinn, yeah, Alabama.
Brody Croyle, you know, Joe Montana out there at training camp. Mm.
Aiden O'Connell looked really good for those first two drives in that one game in Vegas, man.
That was crazy.
Aiden O'Connell didn't complete a pass for three quarters in a game and still won.
I don't think we'll ever see that again. That was just
hope not.
What a frustrating.
If we do, I hope it's another team.
Well, yeah.
I don't want it to be this team.
I don't know if we'll just see that period. Like that, the fact that happened was still
seeing that kid cry and saying this is the worst Christmas ever, leaving that game was like, I was like, damn, dude, I know where I'm going with the show tomorrow. Worst Christmas ever.
It did like ruin the vibes. Like, it did definitely ruin the vibes.
It was noon. It was like right after the game.
We got a Christmas Day game again this year.
Yeah.
Hopefully it goes better.
Well, they're playing the Steelers. It better.
On the road, right? That's on the road. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a Black Friday game.
Every holiday, man.
Yeah, it's just, they're going to play on Tuesday at some point. Because Christmas will land on a Tuesday. Ugh.
A couple years or whatever that would be. 5 years, 6 years from now, something like that. Whatever the rotation is.
Yeah, with the leap year sprinkled somewhere. Yeah, I'm not a year
like
analyst.
That. Yeah. something like that.
I don't get paid to talk about the year. Well, I guess I do get paid to talk about the years, but not when it comes to leap years.
You get paid to talk about the years?
Yeah, you know, like the past years for the Chiefs or something like that, but not like if it's a leap year coming up or not.
Yeah, I don't follow that.
Mahomes glimpse and Deshaun Watson. Not a chance. Not a chance. He just hopes that he's got some Flacco glimpse from last year. Can you carry your team to a meaningful game? Can you stay healthy? Do you still have the attributes to be a quarterback in the league? Live up to your contract, which you'll never do. That's a hill you'll never be able to climb.
Who are you taking right now? Is that Zach Wilson or Deshaun Watson?
Deshaun Watson.
Zach Wilson.
I'd still take Deshaun.
At least he's got his youth. And if he can get to a right situation, maybe somebody can help him out. Because he looked really good against the Chiefs at the game he went and watched.
He looked really good in that one game. He made that one throw.
Best career start of his career against best defense in the league.
Deshaun Watson's still only 28, so like the age thing, I mean.
That's crazy to think about,
all
too.
The football he's missed, I think, it's taxing than we realize.
For that question, I would still go with Deshaun.
Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson?
For one season or the rest
of the year? For this year.
Russell.
Who do you want?
Yeah, Russ for this year. Yeah, for this 1 year, I go with Russ. I think you have to.
I would hope that with Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, that maybe it's a little bit better of a situation than it was in Denver. And look, Russ wasn't terrible last year. He's just cringy, so we just say he sucks. But his numbers were significantly better than the year before. Plus, him and Sean Payton definitely did not like each other.
It was never Sean Payton's guy. He made that. I mean,
he had him in the 2 minute warning in the first playoff or first preseason game.
He made it very, very clear.
Correct.
And now Bo Nix, Denver Broncos.
Bo Nixon.
Bo Nixon.
Yeah, Bo Nix, that's Drew's guy.
Are a fan of his, though, right?
He thinks he's going to be good.
I think he's going to be solid.
Okay.
I think Bo Nix will be
you're right. I mean, it'd be a good story. Played in college for 10 years and retired in the pros after 5 because of his age.
Somebody I don't know. I'm sure you guys aren't getting, it's not old to you guys, but somebody's got to challenge the Chiefs a little bit.
Somebody tries and then somebody dies.
The Chargers, people have been saying that for 7 years about the Chargers. I think ultimately 1 year was the Chargers.
Next year was the Ravens. Next year was the Bengals. Next year was the Bills.
I do think not this year, but the following year, based on the track record of Harbaugh, they will be very competitive in the division in a year from now. I don't think the roster is all that good this year out of LA.
Somebody said there was a list that has Harbaugh as a top 10 coach or maybe even top five. I can't remember what I think he's a hell of a coach,
which is why that in a year from now, I think if they get that roster right, they can be a problem. I don't think they're a problem this year. They cleaned house they needed to a little bit and get some age off the roster, kind of reset things a little bit, retool. Because I still think they have the right quarterback out in LA, but we've just been going through this for 7 years. Like, I just can't take anybody in the division seriously. How?
I mean, not the Raiders. Definitely not the Broncos.
It's an embarrassingly bad division.
The Chargers are the only team, if you were to say you had to pick somebody outside the Chiefs, of course, that once again, we've been doing that for 7 years. You would still say the Chargers are the biggest threat, I guess, in the division.
Because of what they have more than everybody else.
The best quarterback outside of Mahomes in the division. It's that simple.
Where's Herbert at? Top 10 still?
No.
Oof.
I think he is.
You taking this year, you taking Justin Herbert or Trevor Lawrence?
I think Herbert. I'll take Herbert.
Okay. I don't know where else I would put another name. Aaron Rodgers or Justin Herbert?
Are they both healthy?
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers.
Health matters.
Oh, gosh.
I thought we were going to have Club 16 a little early today. I'm about to get the Rieger's bourbon.
Jordan Love or Justin Herbert? Jordan Love.
Jordan Love.
In a heartbeat.
Jordan Love is Mac Maury, the morning producer for Fesco. His MVP candidate is Jordan Love.
Oh.
Did you guys just become best friends? Because that was a moan.
I think he is, in terms of credibility, He is automatically one of my favorite people at the station in this moment in time because of him and his Jordan Love.
He also thinks Bo Nix is going to work out in Denver.
Does he really?
And he thinks Joe Burrow is the second best quarterback in the league. Up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll also get back into a deal that was signed and Denver.
You're a Richard,
and
dude.
Why it's a problem for the Chiefs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken
took
care
forever.
Of.
And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.